But where are you really from?
But where are you really from?
Hello, I'm Angela Lin.
And I'm Jesse Lin, and welcome back to another episode of But Where Are You Really From?
Today we're talking about ChatGPT, the AI bot that you may or may not have heard of a lot in the headlines for the past several months. Jesse and I both dabble in the Twitterverse, so we've been hearing about it for quite a while now. I think, Jesse, earlier you were saying maybe around January is when...
Yeah, Jan-Feb.
Yeah, Twitter is always the most excited about anything on the internet, so obviously everyone jumped on it immediately. But I think from like a mainstream headline standpoint, I didn't start seeing, for example, like New York Times type publications talking about it until maybe the last month or two, when Microsoft released an updated version of their Bing chat that like integrated ChatGPT's power behind it, and it got a little bit of like wacky responses, so it made headlines that way. But prior to that, I don't think the average person knew what ChatGPT was or had heard of it before then.
I mean, like, if you look at a lot of the TED Talks about like who picks up new technology right away, it's a pretty small percentage of the population. And then as it picks up steam in terms of how a normal person can find usability or at least amusement out of it, then it starts to become like, okay, everyone is like generally aware of what this thing is, even if they haven't like used or bought into it yet.
Well, let's explain what ChatGPT is for those who may not totally know. I asked ChatGPT to explain what ChatGPT is and explain it to me like I'm five.
That's so meta.
ChatGPT is a computer program that can talk to people like you do with your friends and family. It uses a special kind of brain called artificial intelligence, or AI for short, which helps it understand what you're saying and respond in a way that makes sense. Just like how you learn new things every day, ChatGPT learns new things too, by reading lots of books and websites and talking to lots of people. So the more people who talk to ChatGPT, the smarter it gets. I think it's a pretty good, like, child level explanation.
I think so. But also, I think I'm, like, too stuck in the industry kind of space where I'm like, that's just the general definition of what AI learning algorithm is.
I mean, to be fair, I said, talk to me like I'm five, so I don't think...
That's fair. Yeah.
I also asked it, like, what makes you different from past AI bots? And its main answer was that it uses deep learning. I'm like, what is deep learning, really? All it said was it's a way to understand language better. So I guess past AI bots were more rule-based and strictly only able to answer like certain things in certain ways. And ChatGPT in particular, number one, already like knows a lot more than those did, because I think the last time we heard about anything AI bot related was like 5 to 10 years ago. So I'm sure the internet has bombarded ChatGPT with way more information than those bots. But I think it's, I guess, more flexible in the way that it's able to respond to people. So it doesn't sound so like, meh, meh, meh. It does sound more like a person when you're talking to it.
It's so funny that you mentioned deep learning, because that was the model behind everything at my last job. And I had to like learn how to explain it to other people.
Now's your chance.
It's basically many machine learning algorithms arranged in a neural network. So there are like many different nodes that are processing data and then like recompiling it. It's like arranged like a brain. So there's like different pieces of learning, and then it tries to like predict the output that you give it. And part of the important piece of it is that after a certain point, it's self-learning. So it's not only learning from the data that you feed it and you're telling it yes or no, this is correct or this is incorrect. It's also learning from all those corrections to change like all of the different inputs. At the end of the day, it's a complicated statistics algorithm, basically.
Internet computer things. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I think everyone is so excited about it because most people have access to it, and it's access in an easy way. So like if you were actually working in machine learning or you have some computer science background, you possibly could have taken any like machine learning model that is available and tried to set up your own instance of it. But it does take some wherewithal to be able to do that. And ChatGPT is so easy because there's a web interface that you can just like speak to it. And it does that one thing very well, which is return an answer to your question in a conversational way that like actually answers most of what you're looking for.
Yeah, honestly, the way that I think about it, and this is like the most simplified way because there are so many different ways that people are using ChatGPT now, but for like the normal person, your first time using ChatGPT, you're largely going to be using it kind of like Google search, but a way better Google search. Because search now, like you type in whatever question you have, like when was Abraham Lincoln born or like whatever the fuck, right? And of course it like tries to serve you the best results, but you're still digging through all of that to kind of find the answers, versus ChatGPT theoretically has already digested all the like answers that exist on the internet up to a certain point. I forget which year it kind of like stopped ingesting information just so it could launch open to the public, but theoretically it's already ingested that, so it's able to give you the actual answer you're looking for without you doing additional work to like search through several results. So I just find that pretty amazing because it's basically like what everyone wants search to be, but finally here.
What I found really interesting about it using it is that it's not only a search function, because I will say like Google's search function answers most of those like open shut questions fairly easily, and you don't have to search for it because there's usually that box at the top that's like, this is the answer. However, I was using it for certain things, like when we were brainstorming topics, I was just like, shit, maybe it'll come up with topics for me, and I just typed in like issues for Asian Americans, and it like spit out a bunch of like random things. I would say like 90% of the things we already talked about, and I was like, I don't, like, this is not useful. But I was shocked that it was able to summarize topics that are things that we brainstormed so succinctly. And also I saw uses of it on Twitter where people were like trying to get it to write pickup lines for Hinge or something like that. And it was pretty spot on and pretty funny too. So it's useful in those questions that require some more qualitative assessment rather than like open shut black and white conversation, at least in my experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, the search thing is definitely the most basic functionality. We're just searching for like an answer that already exists. But what you're getting into is why people are so fascinated by ChatGPT and why I think it's going to be so important to the future of productivity, if you've been hearing that theme in all these headlines, because it's not just a spitting out answers kind of thing. It can create stuff. I mean, I'm not getting into the whole debate about like, what is art and is real art able to be generated by a robot? If you're using it as you are a creative person, you're a marketer, you're whoever, and you're trying to be more productive, and sometimes you just have brain farts, it's helpful to have this thing that's able to feed you some like initial idea starters. Or if you have already written, for example, like you're trying to write a blog post, you think like it's a little lackluster, you can drop it into ChatGPT and be like, hey, help me edit this to be better, or help me rewrite this blog post in the style of Edgar Allan Poe. And in like 5 seconds, it'll like literally rewrite the whole thing in that style. So it's really interesting because you can use it to boost whatever you're already doing. And I think that's what people are most excited for. People who want to be more productive in their current work see it as a really powerful tool to help them, as opposed to something that could like replace their job, because that's something people are scared of as well. You can turn it to see it as like, no, this will help me do my job better and be a better fill in the blank, like whatever you do.
Hey listeners, wondering how you can support us? The biggest way is by increasing our visibility by following us on Instagram at Where Are You From Pod, on TikTok at But Where Are You Really From, subscribing to our YouTube channel under But Where Are You Really From Podcast, rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, and telling your friends. The more people we can get to listen to the show, the more we can continue spotlighting different perspectives and stories. And if you feel so inclined, we're also accepting donations at buymeacoffee.com/whereareyoufrom. Thanks y'all.
When I see the articles where it's like, the AI is coming for your job, I'm like, girl, please. I don't want to downplay like the impressiveness of this, but it's a language learning model. That's all it does. So like to think that you could plug it into any number of situations that require like higher order thinking in most white collar jobs, you could try, but it's definitely not going to replace anyone's job anytime soon.
I think it can replace very low level activity. For example, data entry or summarizing and giving a conclusion out of boring inputs of spreadsheets or whatever. Like, it's going to be able to do that kind of stuff. But the reason I don't think it's going to like literally take most people's jobs is that it still requires someone to input whatever it is you want to come out. Even if you used to have a fresh out of college grad that you pay $30,000 to write like a generic job description for a company because you work in HR and now ChatGPT can write it in 5 seconds, you still need somebody to input into ChatGPT what the qualifications are or like the few bullet points that you want it to like riff off of to write the full job description, and still needs that person to like put in the things for it to shoot out an output. Even if that output normally would have been a human who wrote it and spent maybe like an hour or two on it, but now ChatGPT can make it 5 minutes. So I think people are kind of blowing it out of proportion when they're saying like AI is literally going to take people's jobs. It's just that the way we work is changing and people have to adapt to learn how to integrate AI, ChatGPT type things. Who knows if ChatGPT will be like the main thing in the future? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But learning how to use these productivity helper tools to do jobs differently is probably more the way things are pivoting than it literally taking your job away. I don't really think that's how most things are going to be.
Areas where things have already been automated, so I'm thinking like phone trees, basic chat support, things of that nature will probably be much better if they were to apply ChatGPT here, because it could probably solve for like a number of additional problems. I mean, I've definitely seen articles where it's like they're coming for white collar jobs, and I'm like, I don't think that's gonna happen.
It can do really advanced things. It can code. It technically passed like the medical board exam. It passed like a lot of like high degree exams. So it technically knows all these things. But if no one's there to tell it what you need or to like feed it additional things or to edit when it is wrong, because it's not always right. One of the things it kept giving me when I was like, tell me what your shortcomings are, it was like, my main shortcoming is that I'm only as good as the data I get fed. So it can still give you wrong answers if it hasn't been input with all of the correct information to give you the best answer. So you still need a human to look at what it puts out to make sure it's actually what you need. For example, Ramon actually has been using it a lot because he is a programmer. So he uses it for like basic level coding to kickstart things. And then he's the one who has to take it to make it into something more complex or like tailor it to what he needs or to check it to make sure it did it right. But it still saves a ton of time because it doesn't require the initial human to do like very basic things. How I'm thinking about it, this is a nerdy and like a certain audience, but like Microsoft Excel has all these functions in it, right? You just do equals sign and then whatever formula you want to do, and it like spits out the answer as long as you gave it the right number inputs. But if Excel didn't exist, it would literally be a human like handwriting equations to like give you this output. And I know how torturous that is, because in business school, we literally hand wrote these equations to prove that we understood the concepts, versus you can literally do it in Excel with just like equal sign, one word, and like these digits, and in a second, it gives you the output. That's kind of the equivalent in my head of like something that was really manual and did take a person to do the thing and now has become instant, automatic, but still requires a person to give it the right inputs.
I just think about all of the professional positions I've been in so far. And I think one of the main challenges of deploying an AI in a certain area is that a lot of the decisions you have to make are not black and white, and some of the decisions you have to make are wrong. Trying to figure out how to translate the context of your operating environment into training data for this AI, I think would be the hugest challenge of like employing it in place of an actual person, if that could even be done.
Yeah, I mean, it would have to understand the irrationality of humans in general, because like you just said, sometimes you have to make the wrong decision, right? Like people don't always make the right decision, and on purpose. I've had many times where my bosses are like, this isn't the right way to go, but yeah, we're gonna do this because politics or like whatever, right? Like this is just what we need to do to make it happen. There's always going to be an element that a computer can't understand, even if you give it like the best possible training material, because humans don't make sense. Let's talk a little bit about maybe like wish list of what we hope it can help with in the future. I can start because we talked about this before. ChatGPT as it currently exists is, as you mentioned, more this like web page chatbot. But what's exciting about it is that it's open source. So OpenAI is the company behind ChatGPT. Some of you may have heard that Microsoft invested like a ton of money into OpenAI recently. And maybe like me, you made the mistake of thinking that meant that Microsoft like bought OpenAI. It did not. It just invested like a ton of money. And it is still an independent research group. So it's not owned by any company. And everything it's doing, as far as I understand, maybe this is not the right term for it, open source, in that like people can pull from it. Because I'm seeing a ton of things being built on top of ChatGPT, like Chrome extensions, for example. So you don't have to have that web page open. You can have a Chrome extension and it's just there and it feeds you your answers like next to your web page. Or it can be integrated into like other people's programs to help power whatever they're using it for. So I can see a future where it's just like kind of embedded into like a lot of shit that you use on your computer. And for me, I'm most excited for this level of power to be integrated into things like Photoshop and Premiere Pro. I know that Adobe has its own AI. I used to work for Adobe, so I'm not trying to shit on Adobe, but like ChatGPT's equivalent power that I'm seeing in its search and talking capabilities, if it were translatable into, for example, helping us edit these fucking podcast videos in 5 minutes instead of multiple hours. So I'm really excited to see it start to apply to all different use cases and not just these very specific kind of like Twitter catering industries where I'm seeing it currently.
Yeah, I go back to the service environment because there are some areas where it's like much needed. For example, when there's a giant storm and American Airlines cancels all of their flights, you don't have to wait 14 hours in the phone queue. You program the thing, tell it what it can do. It'll automatically process like a refund, a change, or whatever. You don't have to wait in the queue. That's a perfect situation where like overflow demand, you could turn it on. There you go.
I'm excited because the things that we're hoping for, I think, are going to come a lot faster than we expect it to, because it is learning so fast, especially because people are so excited about it, that I think it's getting a lot of new information and input from people using it so much now.
Well, fingers crossed. And listeners, if you like this episode or if you've interacted with ChatGPT itself, we would love to hear from you. Honestly, we kind of just want to hear situations where it like spit you back something that was like completely crazy. Because I think those are the funniest things, just like what things are almost like triggering for the algorithm, where it's just like, this is too real. I'm going to spit something crazy back at you. So let us know.
Yes, let us know wherever you're listening. Drop it in the comments. We love talking about this kind of stuff. And come back next week because we will have another fresh episode for you then. And until then, 再见, bitches.